So we're going to open our Bibles at Luke 15. I'm not going to be speaking on this passage, but I thought it was a good passage to read as we think about God as Father. We know this as the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death? I will set out, go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. God is our Father. And not simply God is our Father, God is Father. What we've been trying to look at in these last few months, what is God like? What is there in God that we can depend on, that we can rest on, that we can say in every situation that we face, whoever we are, wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, what is there in God that we can utterly depend upon? And I would suggest today that just as we have for all the different attributes of God that we've thought about, that we can understand God as Father in every situation, so that if we are like the younger son who has run to a foreign land and we've wasted everything that God has given, God is still Father. He doesn't suddenly become our enemy. He is still Father. And when we return to God, and we say, "Look, I've blown it. I've done all this stuff and you won't like me anymore," God is still Father. And if right now we're involved in something and we're not really sure about it, God is Father. If we're not really with any idea of what I'm talking about or what we've been doing this morning, if it's completely removed from our experience, God is Father. In every situation, every circumstance, for us, God is Father. Now, I'm going to begin perhaps in a curious place today. In Galatians chapter 4, it says this: "Because you are sons," the Apostle Paul writes, "God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" And what I want to suggest is that understanding the relationship of Jesus to his Father unlocks for us the understanding of our relationship to the Father. Just that verse again. Because you are sons, what did God do? God has sent the Spirit of his Son. Who is the Son of God? Listen. Very good. Do you know, on Friday at Jam Club, I asked a question. We've been telling stories about Simon Peter. And each week this term, telling stories. Okay, in the stories I said, who is the key character we've been looking at? Jesus. I said, well, yeah, that's probably right, but somebody else as well. Okay, so the answer is Jesus. Always. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son. God has sent the Spirit of Jesus into our hearts. The same Spirit that was in Jesus, the same life that Jesus lived in the Spirit, has been given to us. We are not divorced in some way from Jesus in this relationship with God. God has placed the Spirit of Jesus within us. That Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. And understanding the relationship of Jesus to his Father, understanding how it was for Jesus relating to his Father, unlocks for us our understanding of how we relate to God as Father. Now, part of the reason why I'm coming at it from this particular angle is this. I have heard many, many sermons, I've probably preached many sermons, talked a lot about God as Father, and this is what it means. He loves you and he cares for you and forgives you, all this kind of stuff. And I just wonder sometimes whether we struggle with that because we say, well, all of that is true. I'm sure it's all true. But there seems to be kind of a disconnect between me and that. And what I want to encourage in us today is an understanding that there is no disconnect, really. God has placed the Spirit of his Son in you. God has placed the Spirit of his Son in you. The Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. And so the way in which we relate to God as Father, we haven't somehow got to reach out there and discover a new way out there of relating to God as Father. God has placed the Spirit of his Son in you. It's within you already. And it may be that we just have to let God have his way in our hearts. That the way Jesus related to his Father may just come forward in our lives. So these two things, very simple. God is the Father of Jesus. We're going to reflect on that for a moment, understanding just some of the ways in which Jesus related to God as his Father. In fact, five different ways, I think. And then we're just going to reflect all those into God is the Father of all those who put their trust in Jesus. In other words, us. Okay? So those two, hopefully, simple things. God is the Father of Jesus. How did that show itself in Jesus' life? The first of the five is this. The primary concern of Jesus was to be with his Father. There's this great story that I love telling, and a lot of children, I think, really enjoy this story because it kind of is ammunition for them in terms of disobedience as they grow up. And they need ammunition to defend themselves against their parents. You see, when Jesus was 12, Mary and Joseph and his family and all their extended family had a trip to Jerusalem. And it was a significant journey. And they went to Jerusalem to worship God together. And at the end of their time in Jerusalem, they begin to make their way back home. Now, extraordinarily, Mary and Joseph are gone, I think it's 2 days before they realize that they haven't got Jesus with them. Have you ever had that experience? You haven't got your child. For 2 days, there's a sense of release and freedom. But after 2 days, their conscience gets to them, and they think, man, where's Jesus? Don't know where he is. So they make their way back to Jerusalem. And of course, they get back to Jerusalem. It's a busy city. Where on earth are they going to find Jesus? All over the place. They're looking, looking, looking. They're getting worried. And of course, when they eventually find him, they find him in the temple. And he's talking with the teachers in the temple. And Jesus, you know, on the edge of teenagerhood, you know, it doesn't say, yes, meek and mild. You know, he challenges them. He challenges Mary. When Mary says, don't you understand how worried we have been? We've been looking for you. We thought you were lost. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? For Jesus, it is the most obvious thing to do. Of course I'm here. You see, the spirit that was at work within Jesus, it resonated so deeply and powerfully with this desire to be with his Father. He was there in the temple, and he was talking with the teachers, and they were impressed with him. They were amazed at his wisdom, his insight. Why? Because the spirit was at work and within Jesus, and his desire was just to be with his Father. That same Spirit has been placed within us. And the most obvious thing is to be with the Father. So the primary concern, the first concern, the number one concern that the Spirit created within the heart of Jesus appears to be this: to be with his Father. And it was there when he was 12. And we see it as we read our way through the Gospels. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, everyone else was asleep, Jesus gets up and makes his way out to pray. Why does he pray? To be with his Father. His primary concern was to be with his Father. Number two, he had personal knowledge of God. And I'll put this verse up. I am the good shepherd, he says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He had personal knowledge of the Father. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. There is an instinctive, innate awareness of who the shepherd is. The shepherd calls, there is recognition of the voice. There's nothing complicated, no rocket science involved. It's just the name is called. And the sheep come. I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. For Jesus, there was an innate awareness. My Father calls my name, and I know who it is. I don't have to question, is it this person or that or the other? I know. Somehow. Deep within my heart, I know who it is. It's my Father, my Heavenly Father, my heart's true home is calling me. He had this personal knowledge. And it is the Spirit of Jesus, the one who had this innate knowledge of who his Father was, that is placed within you and me. So we don't have to begin from scratch. We don't have to say, right, the Spirit is placed in me. Now I have to learn who my Father is. The Spirit of Jesus has been placed within us. And there is for us that possibility of just that innate sense of God is my Father. So primary concern, being with Father. Obvious. Personal knowledge. I know, somehow I know who my Father is. Thirdly, he lived in practical obedience to the Father. And I love this statement from John 10. Speaking about God. Jesus said, I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Jesus had an understanding. He was aware. My Father's command leads to eternal life. So what do I do about it? What do I want? I want eternal life. Again, it's not rocket science. He's not very clever. But he understands. When my Father commands something, I know his command leads to eternal life. So what do? Whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. It's simple. Because I know it leads to eternal life. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to argue with it. Because I know it leads to eternal life. I know it is good. I know it blesses me. And I know this is best for me. And so this is the practical, down-to-earth, simple obedience that Jesus lived. You know, sometimes we might think, well, I could never live like Jesus. I could never live in obedience to God as Jesus did. And part of me, I want to say, why not? It was simple. This understanding, what my Father commands leads to eternal life. I'll do it. It's great. And then I'm on course, you know, I'm on the fast track. And that's what Jesus did. Now, the Spirit of Jesus is placed within us. So we don't have to wrestle with this. We don't have to work out what obedience is. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus is in us. And that sense of, I know what the Father commands is good. I know that what the Father commands is the best for me. I know somehow what the Father commands leads to eternal life. So that practical, down-to-earth, simple, straightforward obedience that was in Jesus can be in us. So he had this primary concern to be with his Father, had personal knowledge, awareness of who his Father was. Practical obedience he lived in. Fourthly, he exhibited patient trust in the Father. And this is particularly resonates with where we're at this week. As we move into Holy Week, and all the noise and the razzmatazz of Palm Sunday, all the praises and thanks that were given on Palm Sunday to Jesus. By Thursday, Jesus was alone. And he was deliberately alone. He separated himself from his disciples. Having shared an intimate meal with them, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, sits down with them, and says, you wait there, I'm going over here to pray. And he is with his Father, but he's alone with his Father. And what do we read in Matthew 26? We read, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knew something awful, terrifying was coming his way. And he talks to his Father. I'd rather not do this. I'd rather not go through the pain and the anguish of what is about to come. But Father, you've never let me down. I know I can trust you. And he waits in trust. And then the passage goes on. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, again, may your will be done. What am I going to do? I know that my heart's true home is with you, Father. I know that obeying your command leads to eternal life. Do I turn away now? I wonder how much understanding Jesus had at that point. Did he know he was going to be crucified? Did he know that they would whip him and strip him and abuse him? Did he know that? Or was he just aware of a sense of foreboding? But whichever it was, there is this patient trust in the midst of difficulty. Patient trust in his Father. And the Spirit of Jesus that exhibits that patient trust is placed within us. And the fifth thing. He's a perfect image of the Father's heart. Once they had taken Jesus and they'd beaten him, they'd stripped him, they nailed him to the cross, And they lifted him up for all to see, to be abused by all around about. He says these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Father, forgive them. Why does Jesus say that? At that point, because he knows that's what the Father would do. What would the Father do but forgive? Father, forgive them. So Jesus reflects. He is the perfect image of the Father's heart, of love and kindness and mercy together. So we have those five things, but then we come to this. As I mentioned at the beginning, God is Father of all those who put their faith in Jesus. And we have this verse that I put up at the beginning. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And I've been kind of reiterating all the way through this morning. God has not given us a spirit somehow divorced from Jesus. God has placed the Spirit of Jesus within our hearts. And the way in which Jesus responded to God as Father is a way in which I believe is possible for all of us to reflect simply that for our own relationship to God. So there are these five possibilities. It is possible. Maybe I can't say it in any greater than that. It is possible that your primary concern is to be with God. It is possible. But I want to stress, this is not remote from you. This is not out there somewhere. This is within you. Because the Spirit of Jesus has been placed in you. So it could be that your primary concern, with all your battling, with all your striving and stressing, it could be that your primary concern is to be with God. It could be that you have a deep-seated knowledge of God. Maybe you don't know much about God, but the knowledge that Jesus had, where he could say, I know my Father and my Father knows me, just as I know my sheep and my sheep know me. It could be that the Spirit of Jesus that is placed within you means that somehow, deep within your heart, you have this awareness. God is my Father. I don't need to wrestle with that. I know it, and I just need to accept this to be true. You know God's call for obedience in your life. Jesus, practical obedience, very straightforward. I know my Father's command leads to eternal life, so that's what I'll do. The Spirit of Jesus is placed in us. Might it be that rather than searching out some way of obeying God, might it be that it's within us? That desire and that knowledge. I simply need to obey because the Father's command leads to eternal life, and that's the track I want to be on. Fourthly, you're aware of a patient trust in God. It might be that right now you are struggling. It might be that right now you're going through a hell of your own. But the Spirit of Jesus has been placed in you, and it's not distant from you to say to your Father, Father, I don't understand this. I'd rather not be here. But if I have to, then I will. Because the Spirit of Jesus is in you. And fifthly, as God has revealed his heart to you, so you. Just as Jesus. Father, forgive them. Why did he say that? Because that's what the Father would do. The Father's heart was there. And the Spirit of Jesus is placed in us that we too might exhibit that same love and kindness and mercy. Perhaps a different way this morning of looking at God as Father. But I want us to be encouraged that whatever we've felt about it before, I want us to be encouraged that understanding and receiving God as Father is not distant from us. If we seek after Jesus, God places the Spirit of Jesus in us. And it's a blessing for each one of us. It is not far from us. It is close to you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. And all we have to do is let it loose. So let's just pray and ask God to help us in that. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you that you are our Father. And Father, you know how much we have so often struggled because there has seemed to be a disconnect. Perhaps because of our own fathers and the way we related to them. Because of just an awareness of we're not as we should, we're not good enough. Whatever. Father, perhaps there's been a disconnect for us. But we pray that your Spirit would be powerfully at work within our hearts today. That we might be reassured that the Spirit of Jesus has been placed within us. And just as Jesus, your beloved Son, related to you, so that might be true for us also. We pray that we would know stillness and rest, that the truth of who we are and our relationship with you might come to the fore. And we might know joy and we might know peace. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.